Smoke raised his head and narrowed his eyes at the sound of the shot.
Sounded like a pistol shot. Pistol's a poor choice of weapon to use in an ambush. I don't know what it means. I'm heading over there to check it out. You people stay put. Keep your heads down. Arm yourselves and be ready to use those weapons.
Leo, Mac, and Nat opened up on Walt and Angel, knowing that from their position they weren't going to hit a damn thing. Walt and Angel lay on their bellies at the forest edge, not returning the fire. From their angle, they would have about as much success hitting anything as those below them.
We have, I think, a Norte Americano standoff, eh, Walt?
You called it, partner.
That local German is going to kill everybody he thinks might know of his plan, right, Walt?
That's right, partner. That's the way I see it.
But Al Herr surely is out of the park and talking. So what is von Hausen's reasoning behind this madness?
He ain't reasoning, Angel. He's crazy, and so's them fools with him.
I wonder if Jensen has put all this together.
Well, I imagine he has. I just hope he can get clear and get any visitors out of this park. We've seen smoke from campfires from time to time. If von Hausen and that trash with him finds any campers...
They will kill them.
Yep, they sure will. Craziest mess I ever got myself mixed up in.
Stand easy, boys. I mean you no harm.
Jensen?
Yeah?
You're as good as the talk makes you out to be. Ain't nobody ever snuck up on me for now. These three pretty bad old boys down yonder. Leo Grant, Max Saxton, and Nat Reed. Lou Kennedy was with him that dropped him. You gotta get clear, Jensen. You gotta warn any in this park to get the hell gone.
I know. I got a bunch of park people about half a mile from here right now. Are you Walt Webster?
Alive and kicking.
Angel Cortez.
You're the two who wore the white handkerchiefs on your arms.
That's us.
Stay where you are. Don't get out of position. Don't fire in the outlaw's direction. You might hit me. I'm going down there.
Well, if anybody can engine up on them, you're the one to do it.
Walt! Give it up, Walt. Join us and live. Von Hausen will take you back. You and Angel think about it. If you get out and talk, you're signing our death warrants. Come on, man, what do you say?
Let's keep them talking. That'll give away their positions to smoke.
No deal, Mac! You boys surrendered us, and we'll see that you get a fair trial. You have my word on it.
Surrender? Us? You're crazy!
Nat had moved to his right. He was trying to work his way up the other side of the slope, the timber side, towards smoke.
Angel, listen to me. You got good sense for a greaser.
Oh, what a compliment.
You don't want to die no more than we do. Think about it and join us.
Nat ran into a long-bladed knife that drove up to the hilt in his belly. Smoke lowered the body to the cold earth, wiped his blade clean on Nat's jacket, and moved on toward the voices.
We're just gonna outwait you boys. We got food and blankets and coffee and time. You boys ain't got nothing. Can't slip away. You got a lame horse. Think about it. Don't be fools and die for Smoke Jensen. He ain't ever done a damn thing for either of you.
What has von Hausen done for us? What the hell has any of you done for us?
Oh! And while you're thinking about the answer, you two might want to turn around.
The men spun around, lifting their rifles, but Smoke was ready for them.
That's it!
Smoke joined Walt and Angel on the crest of the small hill.
Yeah, I'll switch saddles and ride one of their horses.
Walt took his hat off and ran his fingers through silver hair.
Mac had a decent streak in him at one time. I've known him for years. I don't know when he turned vicious.
He can explain it to God.
The ones that are left, Senor Jensen, they are vicious, all of them. Through and through. You heard us talking about von Hausen's plans?
Yeah, we'll stop him. Bring the other horses along. We might need them. We're camped just over the ridge. Come on, I'll help you pack up.
When they got back to the camp, Smoke checked over the shotguns and the rifles taken from the outlaws. They were well supplied with ammo, and Smoke divided that up and passed it around, then assigned the guns. Now everyone was armed, and well armed, for the four men who lay unburied on the cold ground a half mile away had each carried 2 6-guns tied down, and each one had a rifle.
Have something to eat, get some rest. From here on in, it gets interesting.
The next day was clear and warm, the temperature climbing into the 60s before mid-morning. The Baron and his group came upon the carrion-infested bodies of Mac and the other two men shortly after they had broken camp.
Took their guns and horses. I don't believe Walt and Angel done this.
Cat Brown rode up to the group.
Found them where a whole bunch of people camped last night. And Smoke and Walt and Angel was among them.
How many people?
I'd say 9 to 10, counting Smoke and Walt and Angel.
Hans looked worried. He wasn't liking any of this. It had turned too bloody, too savage. They had lost sight of the spirit of the hunt. It was getting out of control. It never occurred to him that it was out of control the instant they chose Smoke Jensen as the man they were gonna hunt.
They're pilgrims. And they got some women with them.
Interesting. Frederick, I think...
Scheisefeist! Shut your mouth, Hans!
Andrea came to Hans and took his arm. They walked away together.
This has got to stop, Andrea. It's gone much too far.
It can't stop, Hans. We have no choice but to hunt those people down and be rid of them.
My God, Andrea, listen to you. You sound like some bloodthirsty, crazed person. How many deaths do you want? How much blood on your hands?
Have you lost your stomach for the hunt, Hans?
This isn't a hunt. What this is, I don't know what this is. But I do know that it is out of control.
Hans, listen to me. This is the American West, not New York City. Despite our having diplomatic papers, do you think the Western men out here, who tamed this country, would let us leave without punishment? Think about that. This is the Wild West, Hans, and it's still wild. Justice comes down very hard and fast out here. We wouldn't get 10 miles before some vigilante group would have us hanged. And they do hang women out here, Hans.
All right, Andrea, all right. You do make a presentable case. Let's just get this over with and get out of this dreadful place.
Hans went back to his horse and rode up the trail to be alone. The sight of those disgusting birds tearing at human flesh was nauseating. Von Hausen came to Andrea's side.
He'll stay, but he's better end quickly, Frederick.
He's that close to breaking?
He's very close, Frederick.
I know you two care deeply for each other, Andrea, since childhood, but I will not let one man put all of us in prison. Do you understand that?
Perfectly. And I feel the same way about it.
Good. We are of like mind.
Mountains loomed in front of them, miles away through rugged terrain. Smoke halted the parade north at a spring. While the scientists were watering their horses and taking this time to rest from the saddle, Smoke waved Walt and Angel to him.
We're not going to make it like this, boys. These folks are just not able to push it any harder. Von Hausen's party has got to be slowed up somehow. Walt, you and Angel stay with these folks.
Walt opened his mouth to protest, and Smoke waved him silent.
If Von Hausen caught up with them, they wouldn't stand a chance. None of them have ever been in a gunfight. Probably a full third of them couldn't take a human life. That's not a shortcoming on their part. They just weren't raised out here and really don't understand the pickle they're in, or the men they're up against. With you two along, they stand a chance.
And you, Smoke?
I'm going to buy you people some time.
Where?
West of here at the creek. Walt, get these people out of this country and over to the trail. It'll take you a few hours, but you're more than make up for it once there.
Yeah, I've been thinking on that myself.
Rest them up and get gone. When you get up to the headquarters, get with the small garrison of troops left and either make a stand or get the hell out of the park. That's up to you folks, but get word out.
Luck to you, boy. You damn sure got a passel of bad uns coming up quick.
Back on this.
Smoke stood as the men and women saddled up. Gilbert looked down at Smoke, standing in dirty, blood-spattered clothing, unshaven and in need of a haircut. He was an awesome-looking figure of a man.
You're a very brave man, Smoke Jensen, and I speak for this entire group.
Yes, I know the president personally, Smoke, and I shall see that you get a medal for this.
That's good, Paula. But for now, just get any civilians out of this park. If you don't, there's going to be a bloodbath. Now, I'm only buying you people a few hours, so don't waste any of it. Get out of here.
2 minutes later, Smoke was again alone, the way he liked it, alone with and part of the High Lonesome. He knew he didn't stand a prayer stopping the whole group. Close as he could figure, there was still about 20 or so coming up hard behind him. Maybe none of those he'd sent on before him would make it, but he had to try.
Von Hausen. I've hated mighty few things in my life, but I definitely hate you.
Smoke made his way after those who'd gone ahead of him, mixing his tracks in with theirs. Once, resting in the saddle on the crest of a hill, he could make out mounted figures far below and behind him. They were closing in fast. Smoke knew he was never going to make the creek. Von Hausen and the group were getting too close. He pushed on, his eyes constantly searching for a good ambush spot.
To hell with it.
He swung down in a copse of trees on a rise that faced a meadow. The back of the hill touched a flat that offered him an escape route. He couldn't stay here any length of time, for he couldn't watch three sides for very long. But he might be able to empty a saddle or two and buy Walt and his bunch an hour or so. He had handed the lead rope of his pack horse to Angel, so Smoke was traveling light. He picketed his horse and patted him on the rump.
Stand easy, old boy. Relax. I'll be back soon. Right now, I got some work to do.
Smoke got into position and checked his rifle. Full up. He levered around into the 44-40 just as the point man for Von Hausen's group entered the broad meadow, all bursting with new life under the warm sun. The point man stopped, and Smoke sighted him in through long lenses. He was still a good mile off. The scout raised his arm and turned his head to another rider, his finger pointing toward the hill and the timber. Von Hausen rode up and joined the two outriders. He uncased his binoculars. Smoke lowered his field glasses and hunkered down.
Come on, you crazy son of a bitch. Be a big brave man and ride up here with your scouts. If I can knock you out the saddle, I'll have half the battle won.
When Smoke again lifted his binoculars, Von Hausen's group were swinging down from their saddles to take a rest and to water their horses at the narrow little creek.
Good enough. Take them north, Walt. Get them clear.
But someone among them smelled the ambush. Smoke knew it was gonna sour when the group split up into threes and fours and began skirting the meadow on two sides, staying well out of rifle range of the timber on the hill. Smoke watched him for a moment, then wormed his way back into the timber to his horse.
Not our day, fella. I'm not gonna push you, boy. I know you're tired. So let's just lope for about a mile and see what we can come up with.
Smoke hung on as the Palooza scrambled up a ridge and leaped into the timber. Smoke cut left and weaved through the timber, smiling when he spotted the ravine that the north boundaries off the meadow ran into. Far in the distance, he could see riders entering the wide mouth of the ravine. Smoke grabbed his rifle and found adequate cover on the rim. He eased the hammer back and waited. Paul Mellum did not like the looks of this ravine.
I'm telling y'all, I heard a running horse!
Then how come none of the rest of us heard it, Paul? I'll tell you why. Because there wasn't no running horse, that's why. If Jensen was in that timber back yonder, he wouldn't have come this way. That ambushing bastard would have flanked us and picked us off. Relax, Paul. He's miles ahead of us.
If you're so damn sure of that, Cat, then you come up here and take the point.
Oh, hell, Paul. If you're that skittish, I might as well. You got fear sweat running into your eyes. You wouldn't be able to see a grizzly if he reared up in front of you.
Paul managed to hold on with his good right arm. His left arm dangled useless.
Fall back! Stay close to the sides and get back out of range. Somebody holler for Von Hausen to get that medicine bag.
Cat looked at Paul's shoulder.
You're lucky, Paul. Bullet punched right through. I don't think nothing's broken.
When we catch up with that damn Jensen, I swear I'll skin him slow.
Gunter cleaned out the wound in Paul's bullet-punctured shoulder.
It is a painful wound, I'm sure, but nothing appears to be broken, and there is only the expected bleeding. Can you ride?
I can ride. I want a shot at that damn Jensen.
Let's find us a way around this ravine. He's probably still up there waiting.
Oh, he'll just move when we do. He's got the high ground.
Von Hausen studied Hans. The spirit seemed to have gone out of the man. He cut his eyes to Andrea. She was staring at Hans with a decidedly disgusted look in her eyes.
Round up the horses. We're riding until dusk.
Walt pushed his group as hard as he figured they could stand it. But by dusk, when he broke it off to make camp, He had a sinking sensation in the pit of his stomach that they were not going to make the park headquarters.
They are worn out.
I know. We're not going to make it, Angel.
I could ride for the headquarters.
And do what? Bring back 6 soldier boys who are engineers first and soldiers last? I ain't putting them down. They got a job to do like everybody else, but they ain't cavalry. We'll push on tomorrow and get as close to the park entrance as we can before we have to stand and fight.
And then?
Well, just pick us the best spot we can find and show Van Housen and his boys and girls that we ain't gonna go down without one hell of a fight.
Gilbert walked up.
The ladies are exhausted, gentlemen. And for that matter, so are the men in my party.
Yeah, well, we was just talking about that. The horses are tired, too. We'll push on at first light. When we find us a good spot to ford up with water and graze and shelter, we'll make a stand of it.
Might I make a suggestion?
Sure.
We ride only a brief time tomorrow. There's a spot not too far from here that I know of. I've been in the park several times. It's almost a natural fort. We'll spend the rest of the day digging in, and I mean that literally.
Well, that's fine with me, Gilbert. Angel?
Suits me. With us in front of them and smoke coming up behind them, we could put them in a bad spot.
Yes, that was my thinking.
Let's have some coffee and get some rest. We'll see what the others have to say about this.
I hate that damn Jensen. The man has ruined a perfectly good hunt.
He's a savage. No class or breeding.
John T. shook his head and walked on, wondering how in the hell he had ever let himself get tied up with such a pack of goddamn fools. He walked over to the cook tent and poured a cup of coffee, carried it over to his bedroll close to the fire. He sat down, his back against his saddle, and looked at Montana Jess, sitting drinking coffee next to him. The man had a strange expression on his face.
Time's running out for us, John T.
What do you mean?
I mean them champagne-sucking hoity-toity folks over yonder's taking us to our deaths. That's what I mean. And you know it, John T.
Spit it all out, Montana.
We ain't got no choice left in the matter, John T. We can't come out of this unless we kill everybody in this park. Everybody.
Now, we talked about that, Montana. What's left to talk about?
That ain't what I mean. We're not gonna get Jensen. You know it, I know it, and so do the rest of the boys. It's only them fools over yonder eating high off the hog thinks we will. And if we do manage to kill them folks we're following and we don't kill Jensen, which we ain't gonna do, he's gonna spend the rest of his life tracking us down. We'll have to change our names and get the hell gone to Vermont or Massachusetts or some damn other foreign place and hope to God he don't find us. Why don't we just kill them princesses and barons and whatnot over yonder, have some fun with them cold-acting women, take their money and jewels, and get gone from this place?
The German government would get involved in it, and then there'd really be an investigation.
Oh, shit. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, you're right.
We best stick to what we planned. The money being paid to us, we can disappear for a good long time if we're careful with it. This'll blow over after a while. It always does, don't it?
Not no killing like we done and like we planning it don't. But I agree with Montana that we ain't got a hell of a lot of options left us. We just gotta go on and do it. That's all.
I'm gonna turn in. I got a funny feeling in my guts that tomorrow's gonna be a damn busy day.
Why do you say that, John T?
Just got a hunch is all. I pay attention to my hunches, boys. I tell you, they save my bacon more than once.
Dawn was just breaking when Smoke rode out. He flirted with the idea of just picking a spot and making a stand to the death, but he didn't flirt with it for very long. The will to live was just too damn strong in him, and just as strong was his will to win against seemingly insurmountable odds. He'd have to admit he'd done a pretty fair job of doing just that so far. Nah, Smoke would not make any stand or die move. No. What he would do is catch up with Walt and the others, and then fight a rear guard action after seeing what kind of shape they were in. They were going to win this fight, by God. His horse sensed its rider's excitement, and the big Palooza quickened its step.
That's right, boy. You feel the same way, don't you?
Smoke put some distance between himself and Von Housen. Smoke's Palooza was a mountain horse and as sure-footed as a puma. Many times, Smoke just gave him his head and let him go, so strong was the bond between horse and rider. Smoke pulled up short when he heard the sounds of an axe.
What the hell?
Smoke urged his horse on, knowing that whoever was making all that noise damn sure wasn't setting up any ambush for him. When he climbed up the ridge and made the clearing, Smoke sat his saddle, amazed at what he saw. Just behind the frantically working people, there was a falls, the water cascading down a sheer rock face.
Hello, Smoke Jensen! Come into our fort!
Smoke returned Gilbert's wave.
You damn sure got that right. It's a fort.
Well, you can put your horse right back there.
Gilbert pointed to the side.
It's a tiny valley that's accessible only from the front. And even Walt and Angel couldn't find that until I pointed it out.
But...
Oh, you look tired. There's fresh coffee in the pot. Walt made it.
But...
And there's food being prepared now.
But what about...
Well, they might dig us out here, Smoke.
Walt strolled up on his bow legs.
But they'll have one hell of a battle on their hands doing it.
Damn it. Von Hausen couldn't be more than 2 or 3 hours behind me. What the hell are you people doing? I thought...
The bosses couldn't go no more, and neither could about half the people. Gilbert noted his place, so here we are. Come on. I think you'll like what you see.
Shit!
Montana left the saddle.
Everybody lie back and get down!
From his position in the timber, Montana stared up in amazement at the sight on the ridge. It was a fort. A goddamn fort in the middle of the wilderness. And they had them a regular United States flag just a-flapping in the breeze, all stuck up on a tall pole. Von Hausen crept up to Montana's side and looked. And looked some more. Then John T. joined him.
This ain't worth a damn, boss. This just ain't no good at all. I bet you there ain't but one way up there, and we're looking at it. It'd be suicide.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right. But there is one point in our favor. They can't get out.
True, but how long before the army sends in troops looking for them soldier boys we killed?
Not long.
Where'd you get the flag?
Smoke was belly down behind the ramparts on the ridge next to Gilbert.
Well, we always carry a flag with us. Anytime we're doing expeditionary work in the wilderness, whether it be Africa or in the territories.
Smoke had agreed that the fort was solid and very nearly impregnable. While the men were busy fortifying the site, the women had busied themselves gathering up firewood, and not just for use as cooking. Both Walt and Jensen knew how to make smoke signals. If they could hold out for a couple of days, the army would very probably be sending patrols in to find out why the initial patrols had not returned, and they would hopefully see the talking smoke. Smoke had inspected the hidden opening at the rear of the falls and found that nature had done her work very well. The entrance exit had to be pointed out to him. Still, Smoke had insisted upon posting a guard near the entrance. If any of Von Hausen's people found their way into the valley, those inside the natural fort would be in real trouble.
Stand off, at least for as long as there's light. They'll try to push us as soon as it's dark. Gather up any clothing you don't need and tear it into rags. We'll make torches. When they rush us, we'll light them and throw them over the side.
The stone ramparts were high, and any openings between the huge rock had been plugged with timber and dirt, and gun slits added. Smoke walked the line of defenders, making certain all had plenty of ammo.
Don't fire at shadows. We've plenty of ammunition, but not so much that we can afford to waste it. If you're not sure of a target, don't fire. We can wait them out. Tonight is going to be our biggest test of nerve. I want every other person to nap for a couple of hours, then stand guard and let the others rest. Do that until it's dark.
Smoke walked to his blankets and laid down, a saddle for a pillow.
If anything important happens, wake me.
As the shadows began to lengthen, Smoke rolled from his blankets, put on his hat, buckled his gun around his lean hips, and walked to the fire.
It's quiet, but I think when the darkness comes, so will they.
Yes, Von Hausen is fighting out of pure desperation now. But if we can beat back the first wave, and I see no reason why it can't be done, those gunslingers down yonder will have second thoughts about doing it again. Did you get some rest?
I napped off and on. I feel fine. I made sure the others got some sleep.
Good, good. There damn sure won't be much sleeping come the night. Was the guard changed behind us?
Every 2 hours to relieve the boredom.
Smoke walked to the stone and timber walls.
How are you doing, Gilbert?
Oh, fine. Wonderful, in fact. The excitement is building among us, almost to a fever pitch. All of us here have gotten over our fright for the most part. Now a sense of deep anger and resentment towards those below us has taken its place. Our rights have been violated, and we are prepared to use force to get them returned.
In other words, y'all are ready to kick some foreign ass butt!
That sums it up rather well.
Smoke smiled and walked on. He walked the interior of the fort, which formed a crude half-circle, stopping to talk for a moment with everybody. Paula and Thomas had left to guard the rear exit of the valley, relieving Robert at the lonely post. Two were sent so one could sleep while the other stayed awake during the long night. It might get so busy that they could not be relieved for many hours, and Walt had wanted the shift changed while there was still light to see. Smoke found Angel cleaning his rifle.
Senor Smoke, I think for some out there, this is going to be a good night to die.
It might be a terrible thing to say, Angel, but I sure hope so.
Not so terrible a thing when bad men chase good people.
You do have a point, Angel.
Now, Walt had done a really bang-up job in securing the interior of the fort. The tents were set well back, too far back for anyone to throw a torch into them. A stray bullet might ricochet and scream off the rock of the sheer face behind him and hit someone, but that would be a long shot. All things considered, their position was a secure one.
Yes, I've always heard that this was the hardest part of the battle, the waiting.
You heard right, Gilbert. When the shooting starts, a man doesn't have any time to be scared. Scare time is over. You don't have time to think about anything except staying alive.
Would it make me sound callous if I said I believe I'm actually looking forward to this fight?
No, it's like you said. You folks are feeling a lot of anger and resentment towards that pack of hyenas down the ridge, with good reason. You want to strike back at them. That's understandable. I do too. Believe that.
You know, sometimes you speak like a very well-educated man, Mr. Jensen.
I married a schoolteacher.
Roy Drum returned from his afternoon circling around the mountain.
There ain't no other way in. If you want them folks, Baron, we gotta go up that ridge and take them. And before you ask me if I'm sure about there being no other way in, yeah, I'm sure.
It isn't just a matter of me wanting them, Roy. It's you and all the rest of the men as well.
Yeah, I know that. But I ain't making no suicide charges up that ridge. And it would be suicide. I just ain't gonna do that for nobody.
If we'd done it during the day, I'd agree with that. But they can't see no better at night than we can. We can look at the damn ridge and see there ain't no trap set for us. That's as plain as the nose on your ugly ass face.
I'll concede the trap part, but they's some ladies who think I'm right cute.
Yeah, I didn't know you knew any blind gals.
It might work to our advantage to let them stew for one night.
And you're forgetting about all them dead soldier boys back down the trail that was probably supposed to have reported back in a long time ago. Every hour we stall means that we're that much closer to the hangman's noose.
I stick a gun in my mouth and pull the trigger before I let myself be taken in alive. I don't favor stretching no rope.
All the men were unanimous in that.
Well, let's talk this thing out. We all know what we gotta do. It's just when that's gotta be settled.
I'll leave that up to you men.
Von Hausen returned to his tent and closed the flap against the chill of the approaching night.
Damn big of him.
Smoke had gone to where Angel had stacked his gear from the pack horse and dug out the sack of dynamite and caps and fuses. He prepared a dozen sticks, and using thin strips of rawhide, he tied them to nice-sized throwing lengths of branches he'd cut off. He gave 3 to Walt, 3 to Angel, and kept 6 for himself. He went to the pile of torches and passed them out.
Put out the fire. That'll give us better night vision.
It'll be cold.
I'd rather be cold and alive than cold and dead.
Well, very aptly put, Smoke.
Smoke peered out through one of the gun slits. Night was gently closing in around them. Nothing moved below that he could see. But they would come this night, he was sure of that. He'd bet on it. And they all were, too, with their lives. Smoke caught a glimpse of a shadow moving near the base of the hill. He stared. There it was again.
Here they come, Gilbert.
I can't see a thing.
They've probably blackened their faces with mud. For sure they've taken off their spurs and dressed in the darkest clothing they've had with them. Those down there might be trash, but they're professionals too.
Oh, wait! I see something moving down there!
Let them get closer. Make damn sure you got a target. The closer they are, the better your chance of a good hit.
A figure loomed close to the ramparts.
One down!
Good! Very good shot, Angel.
Gilbert lifted his rifle and aimed at a shadow.
Back down the hill!
Let him have it!
As John T. gave the orders to retreat, Von Hausen stood tight-lipped out of range, his face white with anger and his hands clenched into big fists. He watched impassively as Jerry Watkins came staggering in, the lower part of his face and his neck bleeding badly from the birdshot that had peppered him. The man was fortunate that the blast hadn't taken him a few inches higher and blinded him. Tony Addison came hobbling in next, his arm around the shoulders of Cat Brown. Tony's leg was bleeding from a .44 Winchester slug that had taken him in the thigh, and his face was pale and tight against the pain. John T. walked up.
No good, boss. Looks like it's suicide day or night. They just flat stopped us cold. You can't get no footing up on that hill.
Frederick stared at him, then nodded his head curtly and walked away.
Why don't he take his royal ass up that hill and try it one time?
Because that's what he's paying us big money to do, Utah. Or have you forgotten that?
Don't crowd me too hard, John T.
Now you boys cool down. Just back off. This ain't no time for us to start squabbling amongst ourselves.
Montana's right. That's what them folks up on the hill want, for us to turn on each other. Now settle down. We got wounded to look after.
Sorry, John T.
The defenders on the hill were quietly jubilant.
Do you think we killed anybody?
I know we put some of them out of action. How hard they're hit, I don't know. Good shooting, Gilbert.
Well, thank you.
You think they'll be back this night, Smoke?
It wouldn't surprise me, Walt.
Let's get out of here and get out of America while we still can.
Oh, shut up, Hans!
No! No, I won't shut up. I will have my say and you can all be damned. We're not that far from a port in San Francisco. We can board ship and take the long way back. By that time, most of the outcry will be over. What we're doing now is foolish. We won't be extradited out of Germany. So we take a few jokes at our expense. We're all grown people. We can endure that. Isn't that better than facing Western justice? All I'm asking is that you give it some thought.
What about the men?
Pay them off as agreed and let them go. They certainly aren't going to talk about this. They'd be putting a noose around their necks.
Has the thought occurred to you, Hans, that these men might not let us go?
What do you mean, Marlene?
She means, Hans, that we have as much to lose as the men, and the men aren't going to just let us ride out of here and get away. If there is punishment to be had, it will be shared equally. The Americans have a phrase for it. It's called being between a rock and a hard place.
There has to be a way out of this for us.
Von Hausen looked hard at the man he used to call his friend. If Hans was going to keep this up, he already knew a one way out for Hans Brodermann. He met the eyes of the others and saw that they felt the same about it.
Every other person try to catch some rest for a couple of hours. If you feel yourself nodding off, wake up the person next to you. We got to stay alert.
The defenders had scored two hits so far, but Smoke didn't think they were killing hits. Smoke walked to Walt's position.
Anything moving down there?
Nothing that I can see. And my eyes is about the only thing I got left that's working worth a damn.
According to Angel, your gun hand still knows what to do.
Oh, hell, that comes natural to a Smoke. You know that as well as me.
I know. It isn't a blessing.
You sure got that right.
I don't think they have dynamite. Even if they did, they have no way of delivering it up here. They might try to make bows and arrows and shoot fires up here. But they couldn't hit the tents using any bow that hasn't been cured out. And even if they did burn the tents, we won't be hurt.
This was a good move on our part, I'm thinking. If we can hold out, we'll make it. Them down yonder knows they're running out of time.
And they just might get careless.
Exactly.
I got an idea.
Smoke explained the idea to Walt and to Gilbert, who had just walked over.
Well, let's try it.
You men, down below, this is Smoke Jensen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Jensen, we can hear you. What do you want?
I want you to listen to me. And when I'm finished, give some thoughts to my words, okay?
Let her bump, Jensen.
That's John T. Matthey.
He's good. I heard a lot of talk about him.
Yeah, he's good and he's careful. Men don't get to his age without being careful. But they's several down there just about as good or maybe as good as John T. Utah Red, Montana Jess, Cat Brown. I'd have to include Gil Webb in that bunch, too.
Some rough old boys you just named, Walt. And fast. I met with John T. a time or two.
So he said.
All right, boys.
Here it is. Way I got it figured, there can't be any more than 14 or 15 of you left. Draw your money and pull out. I give you my word, and you all know that my word is my bond. I won't seek revenge. It ends right here. What the army does is the army's business, but I'll have no hand in it. None of the civilians up here know any of your names or faces, so they can't talk or be used as witnesses against you.
This here is Walt. I'm speaking for both me and Angel. Haul your ashes out of here and we sudden got a loss of memory. And you got my word on that.
But they're murderers.
They were murderers before this, ma'am, and they'll be murderers after this. Right now, we're trying to save you folks' butts. Pardon my language.
They'll meet their just end.
How about it, boys?
We'll think on it, Jensen.
Fine, you do that.
Now what?
We wait.
What do we do, Frederick?
Do you have your checkbook with you?
Of course, one of them. It's the account we set up with Wells Fargo.
Do you have $30,000 in that account?
The look she gave him silently informed the Baron that meager amount would be a mere drop in the bucket.
Make it out payable to Bera, if you would, please.
When the ink had dried, Von Hausen walked over to the group of gunslingers and handed John T. the check.
Let everyone see it, please, John.
John T.'s eyes bugged straight out. He carefully held the check up for all to see in the campfire light.
That is, of course, in addition to the monies already paid you and is waiting for you in separate accounts back in Dodge City. And remember this. Your share of that money has greatly increased over the past weeks due to the demise of several of your fellow hunters. The attorney handling that money knows to divide it equally among the survivors. Think about that. But one of my group has to give him the signal in person to do so. That was done in case any or all of you got it into your heads to kill us. With the addition of this 30,000, those of you who are left when the hunt is concluded stand to walk away with a very large amount of money. Enough to retire on, buy a ranch or a business.
Von Hausen plucked the check from John T.'s fingers.
Think about it, gentlemen. Give it careful thought.
He walked back to his tent.
Any questions, boys?
Cat Brown picked up his rifle and punched in a couple of rounds.
I reckon it's time for us to go back to work, boys. I always did have a hankering to own me a whorehouse.
Sit down. I got a plan that just might work. See what your boys think about this.
It's been more than an hour since you made your offer. They must be really talking it over.
Or planning to hit us again.
Look at you, cowardly sons of bitches! You agreed to stay on until the end. You have no honor, none of you.
What in thunder is going on down there?
Sounds phony to me.
Both of us.
Damn you all to hell!
They're really putting on a good show, aren't they?
I thought you Western men were brave. You're all cowards, every one of you.
I think they're overdoing it a bit.
Smoke Jensen!
Right here!
This is John T. We'll take your deal, Smoke. And to show you I mean what I say, you can watch us ride out at first light. Unless you want us to pull out now.
That's good, John T. Think you made the right choice. No point in you boys losing a good night's sleep. You can pull out in the morning.
That's fine with us, Jensen. Good night.
Lying scum.
We're all in agreement with that. That scenario was staged if I've ever heard one.
Von Hausen!
Right here, Jensen!
You want to settle this right now, you and me?
I think not, gunfighter. But there will be another time and place for us. Be assured of that.
I imagine so, Von Hausen. And your plans come this morning?
We'll be striking camp and pulling out, Jensen. I no longer have any appetite for the hunt.
He's lying. And John T. is lying. So what the hell are they up to?
And no good, that's for sure. Now I'm getting worried.
No need for that. I think we'll just let them outsmart themselves.
What do you mean by that?
Smoke would only smile.
Do you agree the hunt was a good one, Jensen?
It was interesting, Von Hausen.
Oh, quite. Good night, Jensen. We'll all wave au Wiedersehen in the morning.
Yeah, you do that.
Could it be that they're actually leaving?
Oh, they'll pull out and set us up for an ambush.
And you have a plan to counter that?
Oh, yes, ma'am, I sure do.
Ought to shoot them dead if they showed themselves. And to hell with all their lies.
Silver was streaking the eastern sky. Those inside the fort stood by the ramparts, drinking coffee and waiting to see if Von Hausen's party were really going to pull out.
I know we should, but there is that one chance in a million they're really going to leave.
Of course you don't believe that.
No, I sure don't.
Yo, the fort!
We're still right here.
For reasons of security, none of us will step out into the open. You understand, of course?
Sure, Von Hausen. I understand.
You really have nothing to fear, any of you. After we've pulled out, and since you have the high ground, you'll be able to see us across the meadow to the south. And you will, of course, inspect the remnants of our camp. You will see that we are keeping our word. We have our coffee, and then we shall be gone. Goodbye, all!
And good riddance, even if you are lying through your teeth.
They won't be going much further than those ridges past the meadow. Just as soon as they enter the meadow, I'm going out the back way on foot. I'll carry some supplies with me in a pack. I'll stick to the timber on the ridges and make a half circle. You'll be able to hear the battle.
You want some company?
No. They started this. I'll finish it.
Smoke went to his supplies and packed a few items in a rucksack while breakfast was being cooked.
Well, there they go.
Smoke checked his high-top moccasins. The soles were getting thin, but they'd hold out for this run. He tucked his jeans inside the leggings and wound the rawhide tight around his legs and calves. Then he went over and had breakfast.
Now listen to me, people. You stay on the alert. Heads up at all times. Just as soon as Von Hausen makes the timber of those ridges, he's going to send people back here on foot, swinging wide through the timber to avoid being seen. They'll be getting into position, and they'll have supplies to last a day or so to wait you out. Stay behind these walls and don't expose yourselves. Just as soon as those he sends back hear the shooting, they'll know it's gone sour for him. I don't know what they'll do, but I'll bet that Von Hausen offered them big money to reject our proposal and to stick to it. Don't leave this fort after the shooting stops. For any reason, don't leave the protection of these walls.
Smoke walked to the ramparts and looked down at the seemingly deserted timber.
They're entering the meadow.
Count them.
I count 22.
That's the whole bunch of them then. Okay, Gilbert. Keep these people behind these walls. I'm gone.
You be careful out there, boy.
I'll do that. Take care of men here.
We'll do that. Vaya con Dios, Smoke.
Smoke slipped into his pack, picked up his rifle, and left the fort. He set out at a distance eating lope, staying in the timber whenever possible, keeping low and moving swiftly when he had to cross short expanses of open terrain, using every bush and shrub for cover. He had steeled his mind for this mission. He had offered them all safe passage last evening. They were planning an ambush, and he had no doubts in his mind about that. There would be no mercy shown them. None for any of them, including the women if they turned hostile, and he was sure they would do just that. This was the most savage, cold-blooded, ruthless bunch of people he had ever encountered. He didn't even pretend to comprehend what went on in their demented minds. As he neared the far ridges, Smoke slowed his approach. He slipped from tree to tree, his carefully placed feet making no noise when they touched the ground. He stopped, still as a sturdy tree, when he heard the first whisper of voices filtering through the lushness of untouched forest. He worked his way closer, moving only when someone was speaking. Von Hausen and his party had stopped in a small clearing, well hidden from the eyes of those back at the fort. Smoke counted those in the clearing. Six were missing, and he'd bet those six were the top guns in the bunch. So be it. He would deal with them later.
How long you reckon it'll take the boys to get into position back yonder?
Give them a good 2 hours.
I don't expect Jensen and them will stick their noses out of the fort for several hours. Maybe longer than that.
This is wrong. The man gave his word, and we gave ours. What we are doing now is despicable.
Oh, stop your whining, Hans. I'm sick of it. We all are.
This is a good plan.
So Von Hausen and his immediate party were some distance away from the hired help. That figured, Smoke thought. Heaven forbid they should have to associate with the lower classes. Smoke moved closer. He was very near the edge of the clearing now. He thumbnailed a match into flames.
Shut your goddamn mouth, Hans. We're all tired of your silly whimpering. Now sit down over there and be quiet. Give us all a break. Those people back at the fort have to die. All of them. That's final and it is settled.
Smoke stepped to the edge of the clearing, lit the fuse on a charge of dynamite, and tossed it into the center of the men.
Here!
Jesus H. Christ, run!
One man who'd been nodding off was slow to move. The blast and concussion lifted him off the ground and moved him about 30 feet, one of his legs bent in an impossible angle. Smoke started shooting. Nick went down hard with a bullet to the chest. Tom Ritter reached his frightened and rearing horse and got into the saddle. But Smoke put a slug in his shoulder as he was galloping off. He jerked in the saddle but stayed on. Mike Hunt got to his boots, both hands filled with six guns. He never got off a shot. Pat Orlman started throwing lead in Smoke's direction. Smoke dropped to his knees at the edge of the clearing and pulled the trigger.
Oh, shit! Christ! Damn, my hip! Oh, it hurts!
Smoke dropped his carbine and jerked his six guns. Tony Addison leveled his guns. Smoke stepped back into the brush and squatted down. He could hear hard-running horses. Smoke waited for several minutes, waiting for the dust to settle. He could see one man moving. He took that time to reload his carbine. He stood up, still in the timber and brush at Meta's edge, and surveyed the scene. He was startled to see the wounded man was dressed like he was on an African safari, and his stupid-looking hat, now what were they called again? Oh yeah, pith helmets. That lay off to one side.
I didn't shoot you. A 44 would have made a bigger hole than that.
My wife shot me. Andrea Brodemann.
Your wife shot you?
Yes. I'm going to die, aren't I?
Probably. Looks like she drilled you through the liver. Small caliber pistol. Those small slugs tend to wander around in a person's innards. Do all sorts of damage.
You're Smoke Jensen?
Then I am.
Please accept my apologies for this insanity. Long days back, I tried to stop this. They would have none of it. She shot me just as the dynamite blew. I should have been more careful. I am a prince.
Do tell.
Yes. The men left alive. They will not give up, sir. They have money deposited for them, and they will hunt you down.
Well, I'm shorten the odds some this day. You got family you want me to write, prince?
In my wallet. My jacket pocket. Inside. If you would be so kind as to write my parents.
Sure. I'll do it. You have my word.
With that tremendous dynamite charge, you shouldn't have much of a hole to dig.
Smoke returned the smile and wiped the sweat from the man's brow with a bandana.
I'll bury you better than that, partner. That's a promise.
Be careful of the women in that group. They are vicious, sir. I think we have married too closely over the years. It's beginning to show.
Smoke didn't say anything. The man's time was running out. He figured let him talk until he shook hands with the devil.
I have a considerable sum of greenbacks in my wallet and several small sacks of gold coin in my saddlebags. That's my horse over there. There is no word for it in my language.
Roan.
Yes, that is it. I want to compensate you for all the misery we have caused you.
There's no need for that.
I want to.
All right.
Take it now. Let me see you do it, please. A final request.
Smoke walked to the horse and opened the saddlebags, all the time keeping an eye on Hans. He took out three small but heavy leather sacks of gold coin. When he returned to Hans, the man was holding out a wallet.
It will not make up for what we have done to you and the others, but it is a step. I did not fire upon the soldiers.
Smoke believed him. He took the wallet.
I told Frederick last night it was a stupid plan, that you would not fall for it. He slapped me. My wife laughed. They are perverted people. Twisted.
Prince Han Broderman died surrounded by the magnificence of the Yellowstone. Smoke reached out and closed his eyes. He found a shovel on one of the pack horses that had wandered back into camp, and he dug a deep hole. The earth claimed Prince Broderman, just as it eventually claims all, making no distinction of class. Smoke piled rocks on the grave, picked up his rifle, and gathered up a saddled horse and the two remaining pack horses. He rode slowly back to the rear entrance of the fort. He told what happened while the others were going through the supplies.
My God! Champagne and caviar!
Well, I'd let it settle down some before I popped that cork. With the bouncing it's taken, that stuff would go off like a shot.
What did you do with the other dead?
Left them for the varmints. Any activity out front after the fireworks started?
Yep. There was men out there, just like you suspected. But I don't think they ever got in place. They pulled out. Angel climbed up yonder where the rocks wasn't so wet he couldn't get a handhold and seen him leave. Then we used field glasses and seen them way over yonder riding hard. They must have picketed their horses and walked in the last mile or so.
Pack it up now and do it fast. We're pulling out of here.
But...
No buts, lady. We're moving now.
Yes, I see the logic in that. All our horses are well rested. We've regained our spirits and strength. So while the opposition is running chaotically in total disarray, we make our final dash to freedom.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Gilbert.
The final ride to Park headquarters was uneventful. The acting park superintendent had already sent a messenger to the army, advising him of the missing patrol, and a full mounted platoon was only a day away and riding hard. The ladies immediately went off for a hot bath and a change of clothing. The small garrison of army engineers went on full alert, all six of them.
They won't come here. Once they seen we made it, they'd be riding into a death trap, knowing we got word out. But let the army stay on alert. It'll be good for them.
Well, the law will now take care of this Von Hausen and those hooligans with him.
No, sir, they won't.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Jensen.
I will.
Yes, sir, I do believe you will.
Smoke hadn't mentioned Hans Broderman's money to anyone so far. But that evening, after supper, he took Angel and Walt aside and told them. He gave them the money.
My God, Smoke! There must be $4,000 or $5,000 in here.
Probably more than that. There's $2,000 in greenbacks, and then several thousand more in signed checks on Wells Fargo. That's not counting the gold. Why don't you two buy a little spread somewhere and settle down?
That's a good idea. How about it, partner?
The three men shook hands.
Keep in touch. I'll be pulling out at first light.
You want some company?
No. This is something I have to do myself. You both understand that.
They did.
Lard's done hit the hot skillet now, and she is a-bubbling and a-spitting.
He's just one man.
You know, I used to think you had good sense, Cat. Now I'm beginning to think you fell off your horse and landed on your head one too many times. He's a-coming after us, and he's mad clear through. And when he's mad and knows he's in the right, Smoke Jensen don't give a damn about the law. There's been a dozen times over the year when more men than us tried to stop him. And when the gun smoke cleared, Jensen was still standing.
I think I'm in the company of old women.
It had been 4 days since the fight at the fort on the L Ridge, and the men had swung wide and then cut east. Dodge City, Kansas, where their money was being held, was a long way off, and those of them with any sense knew that Smoke Jensen was coming hard after them.
Where are we?
Wyoming, just a few miles south of the Montana line. About 20 miles south of us on the Shoshone River, there's a little settlement. Ain't got no name. At least it didn't have last time I was through there.
Is there a railroad there? We have to get east as quick as possible.
Don't know, but I'd fight shy of railroads I was you. I got me a good, strong hunch that the word's done gone out on us. The law will be looking hard at folks buying train tickets.
That doesn't leave us many options then, does it?
We done run out of options. Slap dab out of them. All but one.
Unsat von is?
We run, lady. We ride hard for Dodge. You folks pay us off, and then we all scatter like leaves in the wind. Jensen's coming, lady, coming hard, and he's mad, killing mad. He's snarling like a big lobo wolf, sniffing the ground and staying on our scent. We fucking run.
You ever seen a buffalo wolf, lady? No, of course you hadn't. They about all gone now. Folks killed them out. Big one weigh 150 to 175 pounds. One, just one, could bring down a buffalo. Jump on his back and kill it.
That's what Smoke Jensen is, lady. Are we afraid of him? No. But only a fool don't respect him. Now, if you folks don't mind, get them bosses of yourn saddled and let's go. Like, right now.
We have to have supplies. We'll travel to that settlement you talked about.
Roy opened his mouth to argue, but John T. cut him off.
We're out of coffee, Roy. We lost several pack horses back yonder in that meadow. We ain't got no bacon, no flour, no beans. We'll head for the settlement.
All right. Then damn it, let's ride.
After supplying up at the small settlement, the Von Housen party, with Roy Drum at the point, crossed the Gray Bull and pressed on. Tom Ritter's left arm had to be carried in a sling due to a .44 slug that had passed right through his shoulder. Pat Orlman had been wounded in the hip. He could ride, but his face was pale and his lips were tight against the pain. Paul Mellum's left arm was out of commission. Like Tom, he toted that arm in a sling. It was a sad-looking bunch that rode toward the Bighorn.
You know any boys at the hole, John T?
Yeah, it could be, Pat. I've been thinking on it. That's a good 100 miles down the trail, but I don't know how many of them want to tangle with Smoke Jensen.
Yeah, we could just slow him up some.
Yeah, I know. Jensen gave us more breaks during this craziness than I figured he would. That's over now. He sees us anywhere, anytime, he's probably going to drag iron. For a fact, he ain't going to give us no more breaks.
I give up on trying to ambush that feller. Seems like he can smell a setup.
He was raised up by mountain men, Preacher in particular. He ain't got no better honker on him than we do, but he senses danger. Preacher schooled him good.
We're just going to have to make up our minds and stand and face him, John T.
Well, I've been thinking on that, too.
And?
You boys best keep in mind that if we do that, we're going to take some lead. Jensen ain't gonna step out in the street and face 15 of us. He's the farthest thing from a fool. He faced them old boys at Silver Camp, 18 or so of them, and he rode off after the dust settled. And he wasn't nothing but a kid himself. He's a ring-tailed tutor, Pat.
Sounds like you sort of like the man, John T.
Oh, I do, in a way. I ain't really got nothing against him. I'm just gonna kill him, that's all. How's your hip?
That hurts bad. I'm gonna pull out at the settlement on the river. Maybe I'll get lucky with Jensen.